Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight that you have blessed us with another opportunity to hear your divine word of truth. We pray, Lord, tonight that tonight someone is willing to lay aside those obstacles, those hindrances, those things that can hinder them from accepting your word as your inspired truth. Pray, Lord, that in the message that is proclaimed tonight, that someone will want to be a part of that household of faith, be a part of your family, to be called a child of God, those beloved, those who are Christians, those who are members of the Church of Christ. Pray, Lord, that tonight that Brother Clark put your son on the cross so people can be drawn by the love and by the power and come to his precious bleeding side to where the centurion pierced him and outflowed blood and water. Lord, pray that someone will be engrossed in that topic, in that story, Lord, and have their heart pricked where they want to obey the gospel tonight. Pray, Lord, that he shows that the tomb was empty, that we serve a living Savior. We serve your son Jesus, who now sits on your right hand, making preparation for those who die in the faith. Heavenly Father, bless this call, that it continue to grow leaps and bounds. Pray, Lord, that you bless us with the increase. May many souls be encouraged, be edified, restored. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother London. We are very grateful tonight. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. And we're so thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored, and you are a distinguished guest of our audience. But we put this call on with you in mind. Tonight, we ask you to open your Bible and follow along with our speaker, and he'll talk about the things that we've assigned as a subject and topic for him, and the theme we are talking about this month, and it is written. So with that in mind, we want you to read what's written. Our speaker tonight is a person of Brother B.J. Clark. Brother B.J. Clark is one of what we call our repeat defenders, meaning we've called him on our call. This is not his first time, but Brother Clark is certainly a great gospel preacher, well known in the brotherhood. He's director of foundations, and he's also a member of the faculty of the Memphis School of Preaching, where he served as an instructor and dean of admissions. And tonight, the son is coming tomorrow night. T.J. Clark, his father, will come. We've had a great week with the father and son combination. And tonight, Brother Clark will talk to us under the theme, Thus It Is Written. He's going to talk about the family of God. Brother B.J., tell us about the family of God.
What a joy it is to be with you all tonight. Thank you so much for the opportunity to study the Word of God together. And I want to ask you a question as we begin tonight. Are you absolutely sure, and I mean 100% positive, that you are a member of the family of God? If Jesus Christ were to identify his family members, if he were to come back to earth and point to his family members, would you be in the group at which Jesus pointed? And that raises this vital question. How can I know if I'm in the family of God? And the answer, thus it is written. We looked to the written word to determine the DNA test to know whether we're truly in the family of God. I'm reminded of the fact that in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and verse number 12, John saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and then books, plural, were opened. And those books were used to determine whether your name was in the book of life. Now, I actually read a commentary one time that suggested consideration in Revelation 20 were the books containing the written record of your deeds and mine. But I have an issue with that interpretation, because it implies that God has to consult his records and to look things up on the day of judgment to know my story. Let me tell you, dear friend, an omnipotent, omniscient God does not have to refresh his memory and check his records. And so he doesn't need to read it from a book. He knows. Jesus Christ knows me inside and out, and the Father's committed all judgment to the Son, John 5:22. So what could these books be that are going to determine whether my name's in the book of life? The answer? The books of Holy Scripture. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48 that the words that he spoke would judge men in the last day. Now think about that, dear friends. The words that Christ spoke. Where would you and I go to find the words that Christ spoke? We don't have any audio recordings of him. We're not blessed to have any video recordings of his sermons. So where would you and I go to find the words that will judge us in the last day? We have to turn to the written record. God, in his infinite wisdom, saw the need to provide an inspired record so that you and I could know what to do, what not to do. And friends, I'm telling you, I'm about to take you to a passage in the written word that will give you the actual litmus test for whether you're truly in the family of God. I want to go to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, it had been a very busy day in the life of our Lord. He had been teaching the people all day. And in verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren, they would really be his half-brothers, because Jesus Christ was not conceived with an earthly father as part of the equation. It was miraculously done. And so though they had the same mother, they weren't biologically conceived by the same father. So they were his half-brothers. His mother and his half-brothers stood without, desiring to speak with him. And the word circulated to Jesus. One said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Now watch this question, friend. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Now, if you can believe it, I read another commentary one time that suggested that because it had been a particularly rigorous day in the life of our Lord, that when he asked the question, who is my mother and who are my brethren, that he was actually seeking that information. He'd suffered a temporary memory lapse and didn't really know who his mother and brothers were and wondered if someone could help him. Oh, come on. Friends, that's on the borderline. In fact, I think it crosses the line of blasphemy to suggest that Jesus was so addle-headed that he didn't even know who his own mother and brothers were. He knew. He's asking this question not for physical relationship emphasis. He wants to know, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Watch. He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And then here it is. Ready? For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same what? The same person who will do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. In other words, these are the folks that are spiritually related to me. Those who do the will of my Father in heaven, they're the ones who are in my spiritual family. And so, how do you know if you're doing the will of the Father in heaven? Well, it's interesting. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 17, there's a statement about understanding what the will of the Lord is. And in verse 4 of chapter 3 in that same book, Ephesians 3:4, it says, whereby when you read, you may understand. And so once again, we're back to the it is written concept. That's the whole theme of this gospel meeting this month. Where is it written? What is written to tell me whether I'm in the family of God? Well, dear friends, we just saw the litmus test. You show me a man, show me a woman that's doing the will of the Father in heaven, I'll show you someone that's in the family of God. That's what Jesus said. Now, what's fascinating about this is that a few chapters earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ had made something abundantly clear. It is very possible to think you're in the family of God and find out, oh no, I'm not. Listen to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. See if you hear any similar language between what we just heard. What did we just hear? We heard this. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. Watch Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There's the very same emphasis. If you do the will of the Father in heaven, you're in the family. You're a sister, you're a brother, you're a mother. You are in the spiritual family. And friends, if you do the will of the Father in heaven, then you're going to heaven. Sometimes people want to get into this discussion about who the only ones are who are going to heaven. And this can sometimes be turned into a volatile, prejudicial type question. Is it true that you believe that you and your group are the only ones going to heaven, someone might ask? I would lovingly suggest to you the way to answer that is a way at least that's worked for me. You may have a way that works for you too. But when people ask me, is it true that you believe that only these people are going to go to heaven? I always respond by saying this. I wouldn't dare give you my yes or no answer to that question, because my yes or no answer on the day of judgment is meaningless. But if the Lord spoke about your question, if Jesus answered your question, that would be worth something. And Jesus did answer your question about who the only ones going to heaven are. Listen, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So, according to Jesus, the only ones who are going to heaven are those who do the will of the Father in heaven, at least as far as sinners are concerned who need salvation, those who are safe, who are babies, and those who do not have the mental capacity to understand sin and obedience to the gospel are certainly going to be fine. But as far as sinners who need to be saved, the only ones going to heaven are those who do the will of the Father in heaven. And that's where you go to the written word to find that will. And so I asked them, would you be willing to study the will of the Father in heaven, since the only folks going to heaven are those who study that will? Wouldn't it be good for you and for me to study that will together to make sure we're both doing the will of the Father in heaven? Because, friend, did you notice? In Matthew chapter 7, the people that say, Lord, Lord, are not necessarily going to enter the kingdom of heaven just because they call him Lord. Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. Wait, he's not talking about atheists there, because the atheist would never call him Lord. He's not talking about the Jew who doesn't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because they would never call Jesus Lord. Friend, do you know that Matthew 7:21 is saying that even if I believe there's a God in heaven, and even if I believe that Jesus is his Son and that he is the Lord, that is not enough to guarantee that I'm going to go to heaven, because not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But did he ever tell us who will go to heaven, who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Yes. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then he gives an illustration. Many will say to me in that day, and look at what they call him, Lord, Lord. Again, these are not irreligious people. They're people who believe Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be, the Lord. They have that much conviction at least. And these people described in verse 22 are religiously active in his service. They've prophesied in his name. They've cast out devils in his name. At least they've claimed to do so. And in his name, they've done many wonderful works. Question. Does this sound like people that are so committed to who Jesus is that they would preach about him? do many things for him? Yes. Now watch the shocking statement in verse 23 of Matthew 7. And then will I profess unto them. Stop. The them points back to whom? The ones who called him Lord, who prophesied in his name, who claimed to do things in his name, and did many wonderful works for him. Those are the very same people to whom Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Friends, that'll stop you in your tracks right there. What's that? You never knew us? How could you not know us when we believe you're the Lord and we've preached about you? We've done so many wonderful works on your behalf, and you don't know us? How could he not have known them? And friends, then it takes me right back to verse 21. He that doeth the will of the Father in heaven is going to heaven. So ask yourself this question. If the people of verse 22 had done the will of the Father in heaven, would they have been going to heaven, yes or no? If they had done the will of the Father in heaven, would they have been going to heaven? Yes. But that's the very point. They're not going to heaven, according to verse number 22 and 23, so there must be a problem. What's the problem? They had not done sufficiently the will of the Father in heaven. Because let me tell you, partial obedience is not sufficient to save. We've used this illustration over the years. We preachers, you might have heard it in various forms. The way that I heard it was this. There is a farmer who died to his boys. And he says, upon my demise, I want you boys to build a fence at this spot on the property. And the two boys looked at each other and said, wasn't Father a genius? That is the exact spot where a fence belongs. We can't think of a better spot for a fence. That's exactly where we're going to build that fence. There's not a better place to build that fence. Father was so bright. Second item in his father's will and their father's will. After my, I want you to build a barn at this spot on the property. And they looked over those plans and said, brother, can you think of a better place to build that barn than where Father's will says to build it? No, I can't. That's the best place for a barn. We're going to do exactly what Father said because we can't improve on that. Third, boys, I want you to dig a well at this spot on the property. Wait a minute. Brother, I mean, Father was a genius, but do you think that's the best place for that well? No, I think Dad missed it on this one. I really think there's a better spot for that well than where the will says to build it. So let's build it over here where we think it's best. All right. Their father's will set forth three stipulations. And I want you to hear the question I'm about to ask, and I want you to consider it carefully, please. In how many of the three instances did they submit to their father's will? Their father's will asked them to do three things. To how many of those things did they submit? And you might be thinking, oh, that's easy, two. And friend, the answer is zero. You say, well, no. You said they build the fence. They built the fence right where their father's will said to build it. And why? That's where they thought was the best place to build that fence. Why did they build the barn where their father's will said to build the barn? Because that's where they thought the barn should go. The first time their will and their father's will clashed, what did they do? They did their own will. They did not submit to their father's will. They chose to do their own. Now, friends, we've got a lot of people in the religious world, and they will honor the Father's will in this area and in that area and this area because they happen to agree. That's exactly what it says and what I should do. But the first time they come across something in the Father's will they don't really like, that they don't think is for the best, they say, well, let's do it another way on that particular issue. Friends, they are no different than those boys we described in the story. They didn't really submit to their Father's will. I heard someone read a statement one time to me that I've always remembered. It said, if I believe in the Bible only the things with which I agree, then it's not really the Bible I believe in, it's me. I want to say that again for emphasis. If I believe in the Bible only the things with which I agree, then it's not really the Bible I believe in. Believe in me. And friend, I don't want to try to believe in myself on the day of judgment, because the Father's will is what's going to save, not my own. What did Jesus say about how to know if you're in the family of God? Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. Now, I want to give you two quick examples in the last part of this message that are modern day examples that will show you how true this still is today. First, I want Knoxville, Tennessee, in your minds. Go to Knoxville, Tennessee, many, many years ago, back in the early 90s. And there is a man there, 92-year-old man named Charlie Collins, or Pop Collins, everyone called him Pop. Pop read his Bible every day. One day he came across a passage in John 3 that stopped him in his tracks, because it said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. More than anything, and realizing his mortality every day at age 92, Pop wanted to make sure he was ready to enter the kingdom of God. And so he thought, whatever this verse in John 3:5 means, I better figure it out, because if I don't figure it out, I cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so he slowed down and he said, all right, let me break it down. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So I've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. The written word says I've got to be born of water and of the Spirit, or I cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean to be born of water and of the Spirit? And he starts trying to figure it out, and then he remembers. Just a few days earlier, he'd been reading from a text in Acts chapter 8, where this man heard the message of Jesus preached by Philip, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit working through Philip preached Jesus unto the Ethiopian eunuch. And after the Holy Spirit's message convicted the Ethiopian eunuch of who Jesus was and the proper response to Jesus and what it should be, see the eunuch saying, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he gave a good confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Pop said, that's what I need to do. I need to be baptized in water. So he called up his denominational preacher. He said, hey, I've been reading a verse in my Bible that says that I can't enter the kingdom of God unless I'm born of water and of the Spirit. I've never done that. I'd like to do that so I can make sure I'll enter the kingdom of God. Would you come to my house, pick me up, take me to the church building and baptize me? His preacher said no. He said, Pop, you're 92. You don't need to get out in this weather and get all wet and dripping wet and catch pneumonia and die. No, you said a prayer at the mourner's bench years ago, and that's good enough. You don't need to be baptized. Pop said, well, I used to think you were right about that until I found this verse, which says, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He says, Pop, his denominational preacher said, Pop, you think that's water baptism? He said, no. That's how, you know, someone who's close to their delivery time, a woman who's about to give birth to a baby, her water will break, and then she'll give birth to the baby. This is talking about the birth of a baby, he claimed. A Pop is 92, but he's sharp as a tack. He said, well, it says, except a man be born. We're talking about the birth of a man, not the birth of a baby. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And he says, you're saying water here means a woman about to give birth to a baby? He said, I was reading the other day about a man that had Jesus preach to him, and he says, see, here is water. Was he pointing to a woman about to give birth to a baby? And his denominational preacher said, no. Pop said, well, what did he mean when he said, see, here is water? Well, he was pointing at actual water. Pop said, and he was baptized in that water? Yes. And that's when he went on his way rejoicing? Yes. Well, that's what I want to do. His preacher wouldn't do it. So Pop got desperate. He got the yellow pages out, started going down the listings of churches. Every one of them he called and requested that they come pick him up and take him to their building and baptize him, said, why don't we just say a little prayer over the phone instead? And Pop said, no. The Bible says, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. He knew that to enter the family of God, he had to experience birth, the new birth into the family of God. And so he got desperate. He called Baptist Hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee. And the lady at the switchboard answered, Baptist Hospital, how may I direct your call? And he said, yes, could you connect me with the baptizing department, please? And she said, sir, you do realize you called a hospital. He said, yes, but because of the name of your hospital, I thought you might have someone that would perform baptism upon request, and I'm requesting one. Now, she just so happened to be, perhaps providentially, a member of the Young High Church of Christ in Knoxville, Tennessee, which back then was known as that, but today it's known as the South Knoxville Church of Christ. And when she found out what he wanted, she said, where do you live? She called her preacher, the local preacher. He went to study with Pop, and they baptized him according to the written word. He came up out of that watery grave of baptism after making the good confession, and he went on his way rejoicing. And why? For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. Pop Collins was now in the family of God because he'd done what was written. In fact, in Luke's account of the same event that we read about in Matthew 12, where the press of the crowd keeps Jesus' mother and his half-brothers from getting to him, Luke's summary statement in Luke chapter 8 and verse 21 is that Jesus said, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. They hear the word of God and they do it. A man on a porch in Etowah, Tennessee, I invited to a gospel meeting. He said, where is this? I told him. He said, aren't you that group that says baptism's got something to do with saving us? And I said, well, we do believe that baptism is a step in that. It's not the only step, but I started to tell him about the other steps. And he said, young man, how old are you? And I told him. He said, I was in my early 20s at the time. He said, I've read my Bible more years than you've been alive on the earth. And I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't no place in the Bible that comes right out and says, baptism saves us. I'll tell you that much. That's the way he worded it. There's no place in the Bible that says, baptism saves us. I'll tell you that much, he said. Well, he had a Bible nearby. I said, sir, do you believe the Bible? I believe every word of the Bible, young man. I said, That's fantastic. We need more people to believe every word of the Bible. Would you look at one verse with me? And I asked him to go to 1 Peter 3:21. And I could tell as he was reading it, he was reading it with his lips moving, not out loud. But I could tell he kept coming to one phrase. He had just said, there ain't no place in the Bible that comes right out and says baptism saves us. I'll tell you that much. And what he was now reading in 1 Peter 3:21 was, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. And I waited and I said, sir, what does the inspired Apostle Peter say that baptism does? And he looked back down at his Bible and he looked back up at me. And then in anger, he said, well, he says it saves us, but I don't believe it. Now get off of my property. Now here he had collided with the written word. And he now saw that there was a place in the Bible that came right out and said baptism saves us. And even though he'd given lip service to believing every word of the Bible, he now says that's what it says, but I don't believe it. Friends, is he in the family of God? Well, wait a minute. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother, my sister, my mother. He wasn't willing to do that will, and thus he needed to. I want to close with this illustration about the need to do the totality of his will to meet the full description, the written description. Let's say you're at the mall. You've got a 9-year-old son. His name is Joey. He's with you, but he sees Grandma on the concourse while you're captivated by the latest, greatest sale. He can't help but rush out to Grandma's side. Grandma assumes that you know he's out there with your blessing. And she says, I'll buy you a toy. Come with me. And he goes with her. You don't know where he's gone. You turn around. You're looking everywhere. You say, Joey. He doesn't answer. Joey. There's no answer. People say, can we help you? And he said, yes, I've lost my son. I need to help. I need help to find him. And sure, just give us a description. Okay. Joey's 9 years old. He's wearing a yellow shirt. He's got on brown trousers. He's got blonde hair and blue eyes. His name is Joey. I think I told you that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has a prominent birthmark on the left side of his neck. All right. So the search party goes out. Here comes someone dragging a child behind them. He's wearing a red sweatshirt and a pair of blue jeans. And you say, what are you doing? Tell him your name, boy. And the boy says, my name's Joey. You say, wait a minute. I didn't just say his name is Joey. I said his name is Joey and he's wearing a yellow shirt and brown trousers. Then someone else comes up. Here's a boy with blonde hair and blue eyes. His name is Ralph. He's 14 years old. That's not him. Ah, but here comes someone. Yellow shirt, brown trousers, blonde hair and blue eyes. His name is Joey. He's 9 years old, but there's no birthmark on the left side of his neck. Are you going to look at that boy and say, well, close enough. You're coming with me, son. So, no, you're not. You'll be arrested if you try that. I want to ask you, dear friend, does the birthmark matter in this illustration? Does finding the child that has that birthmark matter, yes or no? And the answer is yes. And dear friends, when it comes to determining that whether you're a member of the family of God, you've got to go by what's written. And what's written is you've got to be born of water and of the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. And to be a family member to do the will of the Father in heaven, you must be born again of water and of the Spirit. Question. You might believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You might repent. You might meet some of the criteria that it takes to be one of his children. But does the birthmark matter, the new birthmark matter? Yes or no? And the answer is yes. Dear friend, tonight, if you're not a member of the family of God, you can be. I know they're going to tell you on this program how you can contact someone that would enable you to be born again and like Pop Collins, to go on your way rejoicing. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. Thank you so much for listening tonight.
Oh, my goodness. Well, BJ, that was one of the other very powerful messages. Yeah, I want to be like Pop Collins. I think that there are many on the call tonight probably like him. They're seeking the truth, and they have been listening to our program, and we know that it was Jesus who said, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. Spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." There are the Pop Collins on this call tonight who may not be 92, maybe a certain age, that you're at that moment where you realize that you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit to be in the family of God. And we put this call on for you because we know it was Jesus who said that there will be a straight gate, there will be a wide gate. And he said those who enter into the straight gate will be few. And the few are those like Pop Collins who don't give up on the seeking to be like the eunuch in Acts 8. And so that was a very powerful message. And I think what I'm talking to tonight is those who are on this call. You're at that point in your life where you are looking for the truth. We've been putting this on since the month of May. Perhaps you've been listening over and over and over. But are you a Pop Collins that you know that you need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, and that you have that birthmark with all the identifying marks that you are a child of God and you're the family of God? I'm talking to you tonight. I want you to do this for me. I want you to get back with your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your friend and family, whoever invited you to this call, your friend, whoever it was. They wanted you to hear this truth that Brother B.J. Clark is talking about tonight. And I want you to tell them, you know what, I want to do everything right. I want to get it right tonight. And that's why we're doing this call. That's why we have this nationwide gospel meeting call. And we're looking for the few people who, not like in Matthew 7:21, as Brother BJ talked about, will be shocked under their judgment that they didn't do the will of the Father. And find out that they were not in the family, even though they thought they were. I want you to do this for me. Get back with that person. Tell them you want to get baptized. Tell them you want to. Or tell them you want further studies and you've been pricked in your heart tonight. Or perhaps you want to know more or you have questions for Brother VJ. I want you to do this for me. If they can't answer your question, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make sure we have you in touch with Brother VJ and he will personally, I'm sure, agree to talk to you after listening to his sermon tonight. But we can answer your questions as well. So just email us. We'll make sure your questions get answered, or we'll bring a preacher to you in the area that you're in, no matter where you are across this nation, or even if you're in Okinawa, Japan, which we're broadcasting tonight. We will make sure a preacher there. We have a preacher in Okinawa that can come to you and teach you. So we hope and pray. If you are that person, if you are the Pop Collins on this call, let us help you. Let us help you. Let us help you be like the eunuch. Now, you may want to go back and listen. You got a couple questions or something you missed that he said, go ahead and go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there, Brother BJ's recorded message will be on the call on our website. Just click on Sermon, Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. You can find it. It's on our website. His sermon will be there tomorrow morning, uploaded to the Lord's will. And you'll be able to download it and listen to it repeatedly. If you have other questions about Church of Christ, we've had hundreds of speakers on throughout since the month of May. You can pick any topic, whether it be baptism or the one church or Lord's Supper or whatever it is. You can listen to it and get a clarification on what you're thinking and what you believe in. But most importantly, remember this, that tomorrow may not be yours. So what of your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanishes away. So don't waste your time, because the Bible will always say the same thing. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We thank you all for listening. Let us pray to God now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for God, for being our God and for sending your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for loving us. And while we were yet sinners, your Son died. And we will thank your Son for giving his life on the cross. And he was obedient to your will. And we want to be obedient to your will, that we may be able to hear you say, well done, that good and faithful servant. He was obedient. He was obedient unto death. Not just death, but the death of the cross, the crucifixion. That speaks volumes to us. We thank you for your Son. But he said, greater love is no man than this, lay down his life for his friend. So we want to thank Jesus for laying down his life and calling us his friend, even while we are sinners. It is our prayer tonight that our visitor will obey this truth. They have heard it. They will believe it. They will repent of their sins, confess Jesus, your Son, to be the Son of God, be baptized in the water and in the Spirit, be added to your true church, the one church, the Church of Christ. Father, thank you for our visitors. And we want them to know, and we pray that you would help them to know. And we have spoke the truth in love. And we pray that they have received it with meekness. But as you and your word said, it's able to save their souls. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for joining us tonight, Brother B.J. Clark. You know, a magnificent job. That's a great message. We had some problem with our recording, but we got brother all of them this week. Brother Russell Duke, Brother Ben Collins, Brother Jerry Collins, Brother B.J. Clark tonight. And tomorrow night, his father, his dad, Brother T.J. Clark, will come on and close us out for the week of the Father and Son week. In the Father, Son, month, for the whole month of November, from great men of God. You know what? I'm just thankful that we got men like Brother BJ and Brother TJ who are raising up their son to carry on the bloodstained banner. Let's pray for other men who carry it out and introduce their son to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray you have a good night's rest. We thank all of you who have supported us. Thank you for supporting us through our call. Some of you have been on since the month of May. Thank you so very much. You have not missed tonight. Some of you are bragging about it. And that's a wonderful thing to boast about. But you have not missed out one call. And to those who are on the call who have not invited others, please do. Please do. This is your great evangelistic opportunity to reach out. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us. And thank those who have supported us financially. We're just excited about so many people sending us donations for this call. Certainly, we know it will be used. You can know. And we assure you that it will only be used for this nationwide gospel outreach. What a great opportunity to be evangelistic and donate to our program. Go to HighlightCoc.net. Go to our website, HighlightCoc.net. Online giving. Donate to the nationwide gospel meeting call. And we thank you so very much. We love you all. Join us tomorrow night, 9 to 9:30. May God bless you.